Well, good morning. I hope you're enjoying Family Sunday. I know we sure do. We sit down front here and get to see the kids and all their expressions, the hand motions and all. But we hope that you are also enjoying it. You know, the reason we even kind of put that into place was just to increase the opportunity for the kids to see us in worship. Parents, it's good for your kids to see you in worship and all. And just, of course, to increase the whole corporate family feeling for all of us. And so I hope that is having that effect. And then this way you can go out, parents, also, and talk to the kids some little bit about the memory verse, just all the things. It's meant to help individual families and then the whole family together here, the church family. And remember, you don't have to have kids here to do the motions. It's okay. We encourage you to get into it and all of that. So anyway, good stuff, good stuff. Well, let's get into our time in God's Word together. We're traveling through the Gospel of Matthew. So turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. The ushers are coming down the aisle to make sure that you have a Bible, if you're in need of one this morning. They count it a privilege to pass one to you. So raise your hand if you need a Bible. And of course, if you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours. Take it, enjoy it, wear it out. And for all of us, let's go to that first book of our New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. We're journeying our way through that book. We are in chapter 4 again this week, chapter 4 of Matthew. We're going to jump in at Matthew 4, verse 18. So if you look there with me, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. As a pastor, of course, I notice, and you are familiar with this idea, that there are sometimes certain messages, you come to a certain part in the Scriptures, that provoke a certain amount of, well, be it a certain amount of anxiety, and should I just flat out say it, sometimes we're just convicted a little more. For example, a message on praying can tend to stir some people, because we all say, well, I could pray more than I do, and so it convicts us. A message on giving, tithing, can have that kind of reaction, well, I should probably do it more that way. Well, this is another one of those. And it's really important to think about why. Why would a message like we're about to look at here, this call to be fishers of men, why would it kind of cause a certain amount of conviction? You ever notice when someone's in love, you don't have to ask them? They're in love, they tend to let you know about it. They get engaged, they let you know about it typically, right? Newly married, they let you know about it. I mean, if typically a young girl gets engaged, what does she do? "Hi, how you doing?" She lets you know pretty quick. Because love has that impact. You can't kind of hold it in. This morning, let's consider what the Lord would say to us here in our text. In Matthew chapter 1, it was set clearly before us why God sent his Son, why Jesus came. It says in Matthew chapter 1 that Jesus came to save us from our sins. Jesus didn't come just to be a good teacher or a nice guy. He didn't come even just as a prophet or something. He is indeed God incarnate on a mission. His mission is to seek and save the lost. So everything he does is going to be revolve around that. He's seeking the lost that they might be saved. Well, as Jesus moves out to proclaim this message, wonder of wonders, he calls people to help him do that. Not angels. That we could understand. Okay, yeah, draft some angels. They'll get the message out. But instead, we see he calls on people to get this good news out there. And what is the call? Now listen carefully to it. For it is his call to each of us who are his, and is found in verse 19, our focus verse. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I've called our time together this morning, "Follow me." Let's pray. Lord, you love us so much. The cross is proof of how much you love us. You sent your Son to demonstrate your love. You sent your Son to span the gap, to pay the price. And for each one who's received, each one who's received that redemption, you saved us. changed our entire destinies. And then there's that awesome privilege, that awesome calling that we get to follow you. Help us to understand what that means, just to rest in what that means, to rejoice in what that means. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. To really see the context here and to get the whole flow of things, I really want to go back to verse 12. We're going to pick it up now in verse 12. We haven't read that yet, but I want us to notice a few things. In verse 12 of chapter 4, it says, "Now when Jesus heard that John," this is John the Baptist, "had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned.' From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So we see now, as verse 12 introduces, that Jesus now makes his way up into the region of the Galilee. That's in the northern part of Israel. We might think he's going up to the area, but remember, when you talk about Israel, everything's in relationship to Jerusalem, and because of elevation, they actually say you go down. Even if you're going north of the country, you're going down. In this case, he goes down to the Galilee region is the idea. Why? Well, as we see, his going there is not just some random act. Well, I got to go somewhere, I guess I'll go there. But what does it tell us? It tells us in verses 15 and 16 that once again, Jesus is fulfilling prophecy. See, that's been Matthew's theme all along. That in Jesus we have the one, the only one, who is fulfilling time after time after time after time. We've seen a number of them already. Fulfilling prophecies. Jesus is indeed the Messiah. He's the King who has come. That's the message of the book of Matthew. But not only is he the Messiah, not only is he the King, but now we see he's also the light. Jesus is the light. And we see that that's the case here as he fulfills these prophecies. What does it say? He says, there are people in darkness, but now a great light has come, it says. It says, light has dawned upon them. So notice at the very start here of Jesus' public ministry here in Matthew, it's characterized as when he shows up, light has dawned. It says the great light came to where there were people who were in darkness. That's an awesome description, really, of the gospel. Great light. Good news. It's not a newsflash to you. You know that this world sits in darkness. They sat in darkness back then. That describes the world then. And it still is true today. There is so much darkness out there. Spiritual darkness. Just lost, struggling mankind. But light has come. Light has broken through the darkness of this world. And that's the declaration here. That being the case, what is his message? He's now in this region. He's up by the Galilee. Light is now dawning upon that which has been dark. And what's his message? Verse 17 tells us, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, what? Turn around. We get to turn around. We get to turn from our lost condition. We get to come out of the darkness. That's what repent means. Turn around. Have a change of mind, a change of behavior, a change of focus, a change of priority. Turn around. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Some of your translations or your side margin shows that that word is at hand can also be translated has drawn near. In Jesus, the kingdom of God has come near now. It's at hand. It's right there. Light is breaking upon this dark world, he says. So that's the calling. Excuse me, that's the message. So what we see is the place. Right now he's in that region of the Galilee and all. And we see the message. Light has come. Come on, turn around. He's right here for you now. But now I want to look at the calling. And we find that being in verse 18. Let's look at it again. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he, that's Jesus, saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So now here we have the calling of these men to go with, to follow, to be used by Jesus. Now, John's gospel in John chapter 1, we won't turn there, but just to mention this, tells us that there had already been an initial encounter between Jesus and some of these guys. Peter, Andrew, and perhaps John have an encounter there in John chapter 1 with Jesus already. But now we come to this further calling, if you will. They had met him before, but now the call is, okay, choose what you'll be about. Decide what will be your priorities. Follow me is the call. And that's found in verse 19. I want to look at it again. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So as Jesus calls them, he starts where we all must start. Follow me is the call. Everything else on the horizontal is to extend from, flow from the vertical. First things first, follow me is the call. Notice, before the fishing, there must be the following. Before the fishing comes the following. The word follow, straightforward. But it shows us what? The Lord puts the ball in our court. You see, there's going to be a choice involved in this. This is an invitation. This is a call, really a command. But still, we're not robots. And so he puts it out there and he says, now follow me. And that shows it's going to be a choice. And it's going to be an active choice. It will have to involve our head, but also our hearts, which will result in our actions, our behavior. It's going to follow isn't just to mentally follow. It's to get up and go, to follow, to be committed to Jesus. But notice, to follow what? He doesn't say, follow now a system of religion. Follow now this theological perspective. Follow this concept. He doesn't say that, does he? He says, you follow me. See, it's a call to follow a person with a capital P. It's a call to follow God incarnate. Like Tim's awesome example a while ago. Jesus came so that we could see and know. He said, if we see Jesus, seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. He says, now come on, follow me. So it's an invitation really for relationship. Our following of Jesus is rooted in relationship. Follow me. You follow me, he says. It's got to be personal or it won't be the kind of following he's talking about. This call to follow me actually is frequently used in Scripture. Matthew is going to hear that same call later on in Matthew 9:9, and he'll respond to it as he's called from his tax collecting position. Peter, way further on in John 21, verse 19, after the resurrection of Jesus, and they're there by the shore of the Galilee again, and Jesus talks to Peter, and what's he basically say? He says to Peter, he basically says, don't worry about my plan for those guys. You follow me. He said, what's that to you? You follow me. Common way to capture what the Lord is offering, what he's calling us to follow him, to be about him. And that is the case. Consider this call. As I've said, first of all, it is personal. It's God extending to each one of us a very personal invitation, a call. You follow me. So it's personal. Second, it is direct. Follow. Jesus doesn't say, you know, I'd really like it if you kind of think about, could you maybe think about being mine, following me? No. What does he say? Choose. Choose now what you're going to be about. It's relational, as I've pointed out. See, the call here is to follow Jesus. Again, not a concept or a religion. It's to personally know and follow him. This call is purposeful. In doing this, it will give our lives purpose. And it implies he's going somewhere. If I said to you, come on, follow me, and you go, okay, and I stood there, he'd probably just going, you know, I said, come on, follow me. You came up, okay. Well, okay, I guess we'll stand here. But follow implies he's going somewhere. And Jesus is definitely going somewhere, doing something. And he enlists us, calls us to be part of it. The call is to join him. And of course, we go on. We see that they go on to what? It says in verse 20, they immediately left their nets. I point that out to show that this call is also an urgent call. Not to be delayed upon, not to be put off. But today is the day to follow me, Jesus would say. So it's urgent. You notice I'm highlighting different parts of this. Because we don't have the audio recording of this, do we? Anybody have the actual? No, you don't. We don't have the audio. We just have it written. So we don't know. What do I mean? Well, you know, did Jesus say, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? Put the emphasis there. Or did he go, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? Maybe he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Maybe he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. See, you can put the emphasis each place because each place is so important. But we don't know which emphasis he put, if any, on that. So you know what? I'm emphasizing them all. And may the Lord speak to us about the emphasis he'd have in our lives for each one of these awesome parts of this call, this invitation. Follow me, he says. Be about me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And notice that. That will be the result of following. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Interesting phrase. Jesus uses here what they were doing, what their livelihood was, what their skills were in. He uses what they did as a metaphor to show how he wanted to use them. It isn't that they will literally now go take those same nets and be throwing them on the top of people's heads and tripping them and dragging them back to their boat or something. It's not they're literally going to take a hook and a line and throw it out there with a piece of Hershey's chocolate or something and somebody's going to bite it. Oh, I got him! No, it's a metaphor for what the... What is he saying? He's saying, you fish for fish right now. You're all about that. You become gifted in that. You have a skill in that. You've been all about that. Now, you're going to be all about this. I want you... I'm going to use you to bring the good news to people. Let them know that light has come into this dark world. So what you're all about? Fishing now. Now you'll be all about the good news. All about Jesus. But it will be a result of following me. Not the basis for following me. A result of following me. See, the example to other people might have been, let's say some of you guys, if you're in construction, you build houses, Jesus might come up to you and say, you build houses, follow me, and I'm going to make you a builder of lives. See, it's a metaphor. Maybe you're a nurse or a doctor. You're active in physically making a difference in people's lives, saving their physical lives. Jesus might come up to you and say that. He might say, right now, you save physical lives. Follow me, and I'm going to use you to save spiritual lives. I want to use you to save souls now. So it's a metaphor. How might he speak to you? What might he want to say to you with your position in life, your circumstances, your giftings? He could very well say it in a way that would click for you. And that's the idea here. You've been about this. Now, I want this to be your top priority. I want you to be about this now. Because there's a world in darkness that needs my light. There's a world that needs saving. And I want you to let them know about it. See, that's the point. We're now to be all about reaching out to the lost. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And if we're going to follow him, that should be a priority in our lives. It just will be. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Because that's why he's here. That's why he came. And notice, God gives and uses the gifts that he's given us. And it might be going somewhere else, or very well, sometimes it's just right where we are, because we go into all the world. And so it very well might be in that workplace, that home, that neighborhood, with those group of relatives, those group of friends. But his thing is, let me work in you in such a way that they'll know about it. Not all people have the gift of evangelism. The Bible speaks about an actual gift of evangelism that some people have. Awesome. It's a gift from God. But not all people are called to be evangelists in that way. But we are all called to follow and to be available. And towards that end, we could all be a little bolder. At least many of us could learn to be a little more sensitive, a little more open in some of those circumstances. That when God gives an opportunity, we point to him and we share about him. Not all of us are called to go out and witness in the street, you know, do street witnessing and all. But we can all have a sort of relational evangelism. We just should be. Again, how long do you think you'd have to probably be with a girl who just got engaged before you would somehow find out? It would work in this conversation somewhere in there. Because she loves her fiancé. And she would want people to know. So we're to share with those in our circle of influence. The call basically is to do something in all this. So this morning, you don't have to stress on it and oh man. But think about how might God want to use your gifts where he has you? What opportunities might he give through the interactions you have? How might he want to use your personality right there in your areas of contact? Now, perhaps you argue, wait a minute, he specifically is kind of calling these guys, and so maybe this is a calling just for them. Well, just a few verses to remind us that's not the case. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Just one of many verses. This case has the flavor of we are ambassadors, we're representatives. We're sent out with a message. What's the message? Be reconciled. And we're to plead with people, set God's case before them, that he's not down on you, he loves you. But there's sin separating. But you can't. Nothing you can do about that, but he has, and he will if you'll let him. So be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors, is the call. So it's not just them. Or maybe a scripture like, well, at the very end of Matthew, in our book we're reading, we're going to get to the Great Commission. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." How many here really love that the Lord is with you always? Most of you, okay. Well, how come we appropriate that last sentence, but we say, but the other part, somebody else? The "go therefore and tell about the Lord," that's the other guy's job. But I'm going to take the last part. It's all part and parcel. It's our privilege, our calling. Go and tell. And you won't be alone when you do it, he's saying. I'm right there with you. But people need to know, is the call. So the call is to all who are his. If you argue, well, you know, this is just special to certain people and not for all of us. Well, I know this much. It's where Jesus was going. It's what he's going to be about. And if you're going to follow, you're going to be there. That's just the idea there. He calls, and yet we see he's going somewhere. To follow, again, to follow is to come under Jesus' leading, to come under his teaching, and hear this, to follow means to come under his use, to be available for him to work in us and through us. So he says, "Thus I will follow me, and I'll make you someone I can use." You know, in Acts 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So he tells them, don't you go anywhere until you have the power to do it. But the point I'm trying to say is that, and the result of it will be, you will be witnesses. So it's not just certain people, but all who receive Jesus, we're all called to be witnesses. The light has come, is the message. Time to turn to him is the privilege, the calling. Now, make sure you notice who he picks to tell people. Look at who he picks to tell people about him. Some fishermen. He doesn't pick the religious leaders. He doesn't pick the highly educated people. He picks everyday people in everyday circumstances. So we all qualify. If you receive Jesus, he wants to use you right where you are. You know, I was drawn to the fact that later on in the book of Acts, as Peter and John were called before the elders and the leaders for preaching Jesus, we read this. This is in Acts 4:13. Now when they saw, that's the religious leaders and all, so now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Interesting. How can these guys teach like that? How can, what's the zeal? This, what's going on here? They're uneducated. See, sometimes we rule ourselves out. Well, I don't have a seminary degree, and I might say it wrong or something. They call these guys up, and it says that, and they go, man, these guys aren't educated or trained. And they marveled. They marveled at this. But then they remembered something. They realized what? They've been with Jesus. Oh, that people, when they encounter us, would be able to say, she's been with Jesus. He's been with Jesus. I can tell. I'm not looking at his education. I'm not touched by his great training. But man, he's got a love. She's got a fire. She's got a concern. He's got this zeal. He's got love. Just come. Oh, the people can say, follow me. Walk with me. Fellowship with me, Jesus says, and I will make you. They'll see me in you. They'll realize you've been with me. That's how this thing works. And that's our calling and our privilege. Tim mentioned the fact that today at 4 o'clock, we're going to have what's called the start rally here. And it's to help us prepare for, pray about, listen to some of the things for the upcoming crusade that's coming at the end of the month. And that is the case. We're gearing up for this thing. It's called Harvest America. It'll be a really great opportunity to invite relatives, friends, co-workers to hear the gospel. It's in conjunction with the Harvest Crusade that'll be going on in Anaheim. We're a host site for the live feed from that event. The point is, we want you to come out and bring people to that you know need to hear about Jesus. That's the idea. Because sometimes we're not sure about how to really share with someone, but we can invite them. You know, hey, well, why don't you come and check out this, just hear this message. It's a message of hope. I really think you'll like it. And then afterwards, maybe we'll go to dinner and we can talk about it or something. But we have invitations around, and you'll be hearing about this over the next few weeks, and that you can go invite somebody. Well, the start rally today is that we get together and hear about it, get excited about it, pray for it, and then go out and put it into place. Because the last thing you want to do is have a bunch of believers sitting here watching TV. You know, let's all stay home if we're going to do that. That's not the idea. It's to give you a place to bring that person that you're concerned about. Hey, come check this out. Well, I don't know. Well, I'll go with you. Well, I'll feel weird. I'll be right there. Don't worry. They're not going to laugh at you. Nobody's going to focus on you. But it gives you an opportunity. See, it's our outreach. It's not me. It's ours. It's an opportunity for us to reach out to our community. So today at 4 o'clock, come and pray about it. Come and be a part of that outreach. Well, in saying all that, please do not think that evangelism is limited to some kind of formal crusades. Indeed, I'd say the majority of the case, that's not the case. Our commission is to include all settings. We are to be available at all times in all settings. And I find the Lord does that. He sets opportunities before us, some at the least expected times. And we're to be just open to Him loving through us and expressing His love or concern for someone as they maybe share a pain in their life they're going through or something. Our evangelism should be a natural part of our relationships with people. Just a natural outflow of caring about them and traveling along with people. Because notice that. It says, I will make you fishers of men. Unfortunately, sometimes you hear messages and this emphasis is put upon, you better get out there and you better witness and you better lead 10 people to the Lord this week and you better... And man, no wonder when you hear it coming to a text like this, you go, oh no. And you get convicted and all. And again, if we need to be more bold, so be it. But there can be such a pressure to go do it, go do it, go do it. I'm trying to kind of emphasize, follow. He says, follow me. Just walk with me. Be in love with me. Have a healthy relationship with me, the Lord says. And I will make you fishers of men. See, that's the idea in all this. Our part is what? Be available for that work. And then respond to it as he nudges you in some way or empowers you or opens a door. But we're not to be all guilt-laden. We're to be joy-filled as we follow him. And then let that splash out into our conversations and different opportunities he gives us. Follow me, he said, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. Our witnessing, our reaching out should be the outflow of his inworking. The expression of walking with Jesus. And so what's the call? Follow me, he said. Decide who you'll be about. What's your real priorities? Follow me. It's a call, really. Surrender to me, Jesus would say. Love me. But if we do that, then he will use us to overflow that same love to others. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and get ready to wrap us up. But as they do, just a few comments here. Follow me. See, that's the call to each one of us. Now, if you've never received Jesus as Savior, you got to start there. So make sure you do that. Go to the prayer room as you wrap it up and open your heart. Understand that it's the receiving what he did on the cross that saves us, changes our whole destiny. Thank God. That's the light that we need to break into our hearts. We need his light. We need his forgiveness in our lives. So do that. But if you've done that, he says, now what? Now I'm going somewhere. I got a message. I want to reach out. So follow me because I use everyday people in everyday circumstances. But it won't have to be heavy and guilt-laden and stress time, but just a love relationship that people can see, a love relationship that you express, that you point to as you travel with him. So follow me. That's the call to each one of us. That's the privilege. That's the command. Follow me. And all we do, put him first. So let's follow Jesus and then let him use us to point to him. Let's all stand. We invite you to join us this afternoon for the Start Rally. Yeah, if you feel led to, we have communion right after the service. As Tim mentioned, a few minutes, we'll come back in here and participate in communion time. Then later today, we have the Start Rally. There's invitations here. You can start grabbing some of those and get the word out if you choose to. But mainly, be all about following him. Let's pray. Father, that we even get to do that is an awesome thing. So thank you for sending your son. Thank you so that you so clearly and plainly have set before us your love and how we can know your love, know you. We can fellowship with you, walk with you. What a great, awesome God you are. Not distant, but desiring to have us walk with you, to follow you. So, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for times when we have stayed distant. Forgive us for times when other priorities got in the way. Forgive us, Lord, when we maybe let a fear or something get in the way. And Lord, help us just to be so in love with you that it splashes out all around us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you in Jesus.